You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of July 2013. On the phone line with us, as usual for a Wednesday, Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Ted.
Well, tell me about the news of the day to begin with.
I think it pretty much shocked the world yesterday. We saw Russia actually drop out of the Belarusian, or which is Belarus and Russia, together potash cartel. There are two potash cartels in the world that basically control 70% of all the potash. And so Ukraine, which is the Russian side, they said they're going to try and expand their business on their own into India, China, and Southeast Asia. And there had been rumors that basically each of Belarus and Russia were selling on the side, outside of their compact or their agreement. And so this was really a big shock. And what it did was it sent shares of the other cartel, which is the Canpotex, Potash of Saskatchewan, Mosaic, and Argium, down hard. And so, you know, this could be a real big win for our farmers. It could drop potash prices significantly. I mean, we know from past, and they said it themselves, it cost them about $60 a ton to be able to produce it. Then you have to add on all the transportation costs and everything. But they said it's unlikely it's going to drop below 200. But, you know, that's still a better outlook picture than what we had had. I guess the double-edged sword would be, will the trade now say, well, now corn prices can be lower if input prices are lower?
Well, maybe and maybe not. According to yesterday's report that we heard here on this program from Gary Schnittke, next year for the 2014, as long as cash rents and fertilizer don't drop, that it's not going to be a very pretty year. And I'm wondering whether you have thought very much about that and what it means for the 2014 crop and pricing out both corn, maybe even soybeans.
Well, we have been very aggressive, actually, in the 2014 crop. We have puts in place. We did it primarily. We bought puts and sold calls because we felt that once the crop was in the ground and we started to see more positive weather and everything else, that we were in a situation where if we really do come in with a good-sized crop, and Landworth came out this morning, actually increased their corn yield to 158.5 with a 14 billion bushel crop, and that was a 350 million bushel increase, you know, that 14 was going to look very ugly price-wise. And we approached it from the standpoint that we wanted to cover crop insurance prices for February. So I think the highest we've got is we went in the money and bought $6 puts and sold some calls above the market. We bought 570 puts and sold above the market, and actually had quite a few guys calling yesterday. We did the same type of thing for beans just because we're very fearful, but corn more so than beans. Corn has such a big carryout, and if we do have a decent crop, and even if it would only come in at a 13.5, it's still got a big carryout, could have very negative impact on 2014.
So while you are fairly hedged, fairly well hedged along the way for 2014, you're still of a mind that the prices being offered at this point offer up some opportunity for next year still?
Well, only if you're going to approach it from an option standpoint. You know, if you have to sell futures at 506, not to say it might not be good, but at the same time, I think you need to have yourself in a position. You can get into a position using synthetic futures and actually protect more price. And so that's why we always look to the options, because it gives us that opportunity. But, you know, the reality is this. If we all of a sudden find ourselves, they did a survey, and they guessed on December 31st we'd be at 480 for corn on 2013. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, you know, from that standpoint. But at the same time, you just can't take that kind of guess. Who wants to have a $4 insurance situation for next year, or even a $5 when we look at what the costs are? And so I think you have to weigh it. You've got to look at what your input costs are, look at what your potential returns are, and then determine and go in and do this. But some guys just have a really hard time doing any hedging that far in advance, and that's why I think it's really smart to look at it more from a February insurance standpoint. It's not so far away.
Well, let's come back to the near term, the end of the month, and of course we'll have First Notice Day again soon.
Yep, we had First Notice Day today, which meant that any of the lawns that didn't want to get delivered on or risk the potential delivery in August beans had to be out of their positions. We no longer have limits in that contract, so it sometimes can get pretty doggone wild. You know, it'll be interesting to see what tomorrow actually brings. Being the start of another month, weather forecasts that continue to look cool, and dryness, you know, moving up into the Minnesota, Iowa area. Boy, it's going to be tough. And as we move toward the August 12th report, I think the trade will probably do some short covering, and they'll have a little bit of fear in them, especially in the bean side of things, because I just don't see with wheat harvesting as late as it was that we planted as many double crop beans as what they thought we were going to.
And so when you take all of that into account, you're feeling that the bean market, and Landworth said this today in their numbers too, has some potential in it still.
Oh, yes. In fact, I've said it before on the radio, and I'll say it again. I am still bullish beans, even though we got beat over the head here, because I think when you look at the bigger picture, we are going to lose some acreage. We have beans that are short. We have beans. I have all kinds of issues going on, and you get out into the, we just had some friends over who did tours over in Iowa, and, you know, the beans in Iowa are just, it's pitiful is what it is. The best looking beans, I believe, are from Indiana, Ohio. You know, you go over to the east. But I'll tell you, when you start herding beans in Illinois, in Iowa, potential for herd up in Minnesota, and these cold nights are not helping any. You know, it just slows the production down from a maturing standpoint, both on corn and beans. And we haven't had the sunshine we really normally get at this time of year. We need strong sunshine for beans to really finish out. So I'm very concerned about beans. And, you know, on the flip side of that, Todd, if beans do find, you know, some strong support, I think the ratio could go to 2.8. meaning that corn wouldn't gain as much as beans, but it also will not lose as much as it could have potentially lost otherwise. So Landworth actually lowered the bean crop just slightly, and I'm with them on that. I really think that, you know, that the possibility or the likelihood of that is very, very high.
When you consider, as you look into the August 12 crop production report, the numbers that USDA will produce, on beans in particular, will there be enough there for them to make a good assessment of how the crop is progressing? And I guess I'm thinking, Jackie, if we've slowed the crop down and it's behind to begin with, will they change anything or simply wait it out?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Todd, because to be able to train, I'll guess what they'll do. We are, you know, we're going to have guys, of course, that are going to be out in the fields, and they did go out in the fields for this resurvey in many, many places. I have to believe that they'd have, after being out there and actually seeing, they may have some bias and they may make some adjustments. It all comes down to the expectation on what demand is going to be. You know, the big difference between beans and corn at this point in time is just that, you know, the demand situation in corn required a huge increase in demand, and that's with the expectation that the price is going to go lower. On the bean side of things, we have a very tight number on beans, and it continues to remain tight, and so exports is the key to that particular market. And I think, you know, today we had first notice that we had absolutely no deliveries against beans at all, only oil, and that was even lower than what they thought it was going to be, no deliveries against meal. That, to me, speaks volumes as to what the demand situation is. So I think, if anything, you know, that they've got themselves between a rock and a hard place in some respects. They can't go any lower on this year necessarily because we're already at 125 million bushels. And then you look at next year's, there I think they could make a move down. But they'll be very, very cautious as to how fast they do that, because we all remember when we went down to New Orleans and beans looked pretty tough and everything looked tough and we got a good rain and they really came on. If August would suddenly turn warmer, you know, we could still hammer out a pretty good bean crop. So I don't think they're going to be aggressive at it, but I do think that they could make some adjustments.
Jackie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon. You can hear it again at willag.org.